Gareth Preston.
That's me.
Anthony Keach, welcome to One Web.
Oh, thank you.
It's called Conduct Unbecoming. How do you think it's gone today?
I think it's gone very well. We had an extremely good script, a supremely lovely cast, and it just seems to have slipped along very nicely.
I notice, Gareth, you're nodding quite
yes, I know, that doesn't come across very well on radio. No, I think it's gone absolutely splendidly. Like I said, absolutely wonderful cast. There are bits of it that sound far better than anything I ever imagined when I was writing it. It has just really come together.
We have to get away from here.
I can't go much further. But we don't have to. Look, a spacecraft.
It's one of theirs. Forget it. We have to find one of our own.
We can't take the risk of being spotted. Not after everything we've been through. One of their own ships. It's the last place they'll look.
Because it'll have one of them inside there. It looks big enough to hold 100 of them.
How did the script come about in the first place?
It came from all various sources. Credit where credit's due. Paul Ebbs, the script editor, it gave me the initial germ of the idea that I better not actually tell you because it's kind of the big twist halfway through. But it gave me this idea about Sontarans, and I went away and did exhaustive research watching all my Who videos about Sontarans.
Ooh, terrible, horrible research.
I know, I suffer for my work. And what came out was, first of all, that they're an incredibly intelligent race. There's a lot more to them than I initially thought. And several things came out. One was that although they're supposed to be this cloned race, every Sontaran that's come along has been different. And that goes for BBV's work as well. Each Sontaran has been subtly different. And I thought, well, there's a contradiction there, because they obviously they want to be all the same, but they're different, so there's got to be conflict there. And I picked up, particularly in the first two Sontaran stories, that they don't know much about humans.
Oh, he's been through a lot. Oh. You have to make allowances for that.
I do not need to allow anything. You, however, seem to have borne yourself well in imprisonment. I am curious about this. My database says that the female of the species are physically and mentally weaker.
I'd like to meet whoever wrote that garbage.
And there's a lot of human things that confuse them. There's the famous, you have two sexes on this planet sequence.
And also the fact that if we take our hats off, our heads aren't the same shape.
This is very true. This sort of thing desperately confuses them. In fact, one of the early ideas Paul gave me when we were just throwing around ideas for the Sontarans was to have them experimenting with having two sexes. But I decided I could only do that for farce, so it wasn't really gonna. I could only see Sontarans going sort of, but why are you always the dominant one? I want to be this time, and this sort of thing.
Anthony, has it been very different today from the work you've been doing with Big Finish?
No, I mean, you know, from an acting point of view, you just stand in front of a microphone and try not to swallow it. No, I mean, really, as I said, as an actor, it's just in a different location, that's all.
Greetings, men. Some of you already know me. I am Field Marshal Drell, and I speak for the Council. What happens within this chamber must remain classified for the rest of your lives. We are facing the gravest crisis in our race's history. If even a suggestion of the truth was known by the enemy, it may well cause our final defeat. Do you understand?
Sir!
Good.
How about from a writer's point of view, though, because you're also a writer? Hmm. That's where you're actually allowed to plug your book.
Oh, is it? As a writer. Author of Moonquake, which you can actually buy from all sorts of good bookshops, and probably a few bad ones as well. I don't know, again, a good script is a good script. I mean, it's as simple as that, and this is a good script. Oh, I mean, obviously, because Gareth hasn't been constrained by the Doctor Who format, which is a very constraining format, even though you can go all over the galaxy and all through time, it is actually, he hasn't had to worry about a cliffhanger. Hmm. It's really more of a character piece, this, which is funny when you think it's about sort of aliens who look like Anne Widdecombe, but it is actually quite a very good little character and political piece without having to, although, I mean, there are some exciting, noisy, shouting sound effects, but it's not an adventure piece, although it is terribly exciting.
Marvellous. Thank you very much. Mm. It's excellently done as Drell.
We're getting into horribly neutral sort of battle.
Yeah, that's not the end.
Chief Butcher said in the lab. How fascinating it was that we poor humans had found a non-invasive way of recording information in the brain.
Meaning?
Meaning they haven't got anything like that, so they'll be relying on rather more old-fashioned surgical techniques. What else did he say? It is fortunate we have two subjects. We can afford to take risks.
It's the only chance we have.
Is it?
Well, I'm not so sure.
Are you seriously telling me you have an alternative?
The rest of the cast have now left.
So we can talk about them.
Yeah. Well, you've just had a chance to work with the wonderful Tom Chadbourne, who is known to Doctor Who fans from...
Liverbirds.
City of Death and The Mysterious Planet, as well as doing some stuff from Blake 7. Wasn't he marvellous?
He was. Wasn't he a nice chap?
A real gent, a very nice guy.
Mm. And as well as being very talented and...
That seems to be the thing. I mean, again, from my little bit of experience with Big Finish, is that actors of all sorts of generations hold such an affection for Doctor Who. They do just throw themselves into it and enjoy themselves.
Because you've worked with Lala Ward on the Apocalypse Element recently.
Yes, and some bloke called Colin Baker.
Oh, never heard of him.
No, I've never heard of him. But yes, no, I mean, he was a very nice chap. He was very good as Forrest, and I didn't hear him doing... His other part.
You'll have to listen to the CD to find out what his other part is.
Yes. Yeah. We'll all have to listen to it, the other CD to find what his other part is.
What battles we could fight! It is a dream we share, besides which our whole society is geared to war and conquest. What else do we know how to do? A strange way of putting that, Bestock. I meant... What else does a soldier need except the joy of endless conflict?
And just coming into the room... Directing and returning to the role of the Sontaran, which he's virtually made his own.
Oh, stop it, I shall blush.
John Wadmore.
In fact, he's beginning to look a bit like the Sontaran, which is really alarming.
So, how's it gone today for you?
Very well, very well. No, it's been great. It's been a really good cast, and it's been so easy to direct.
You were saying to me earlier that with a good cast, you can't go wrong, really, can you?
No, I mean, it has been really good, and everybody's really worked hard. And, I really look forward to seeing the finished product, or hearing the finished product. I think, I don't know, how are you feeling? Pleased?
I'm feeling absolutely delighted. I mean, this is my first professional job, and at the risk of going down the sycophancy street we were trying to avoid earlier on, I couldn't ask for a better cast. And John has really pulled it together.
That's great. It's a good
really
script.
Good.
And I think
very
I should point out, on behalf of all the Sontarans, that we are sponsored by Vocal Zone Throat Festivals.
It is a horrible voice to do. Yeah, Anthony is currently cradling a glass of water, trying to soothe his troubled tonsils.
He won't give me vodka.
John, as I said, you've basically become Sontaran, man. Do you think you've developed the sort of Sontaran style over the plays that you've done? Has it changed much?
Yeah, I have actually, and it has changed from when I first did it, because I really did copy. I looked at the old videos, the old Doctor Who videos, some of the earlier sort of Tom Baker episodes and things like that.
Explain your actions immediately. Why were you conversing with a GM shipping security officer?
He was a colleague. He wanted to know who I was meeting. I thought he was working for you.
Correct strategy would have been to wait and observe the disposition of his enemy.
Did you have to kill him?
Spineless worm.
And I've kind of developed it from there. Because in theory, as we were discussing earlier, they all should sound the same. Because they're all clones. But of course, that wouldn't work very well on radio.
No.
So it has changed a little bit. Probably got a bit more deeper and gruffer and more unpleasant. I don't know. But...
I mean, I noticed that even with Kevin Lindsay, the guy who originally did the Sontaran, even just between his two appearances, just they were very different.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay's much more intellectual, he's quite witty in places, whereas Steyr is just a thug who likes torturing people.
Mm.
Didn't he pop his clogs shortly after?
I think he did, sadly.
Yes, Kevin Lindsay did. It was quite ill during the Sontaran experiment.
It's very, very BBC, isn't it? We've got this part that requires an actor to wear a terrible mask and a hugely heavy costume. I know, let's go for the guy with the heart problem.
I'd like to get the final word, rather from the actors, but from Bestock and Field Marshal Drell. How do you think it's gone today?
I don't wish to talk to you, frankly. considering human scum in charge of the whole procedure.
Yeah, it's gone remarkably well, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, with Sontaran efficiency.
All of you, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Now we shall.